Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Truth Be Told Radio. Join us once again for the radio show that gives you teaching and preaching from a biblical perspective.
Truth Be Told Radio with your host, Melissa Canchola. And later today, in the second hour, Chad Arnett is going to join us. And like it says, we're going to be talking about the Antichrist. And I think earlier that I'm going to talk a little bit about that. But for now, I'm going to start off with a Living at Mars University. This is where they teach about how to witness people and help you. Well, like this. This is featuring a man named Tom. And if you want to find out more about us, see truthbetoldradio.com. Truthbetoldradio.com. Thanks for listening.
Watch this interview with Tom. Now, this is the kind of interview that could frustrate any Christian. This is a man who's been gospel hardened. He knows everything. He's heard it all before. He even says that he knows he's going to hell. But he's not going to do anything about it because he loves his sin. What do you do in a situation like that? You can't slap him. You'd like to if you care about him. And all we can do is figuratively slap him with our words and try to awaken him to his desperate need of repentance and genuine faith.
So what's your thoughts on the afterlife? What's on the other side?
Heaven or hell, you know?
How do you know that?
You know it in your spirit.
You know it in your spirit?
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people don't.
They do, but they just don't want to admit it.
Do you believe God exists?
Oh, yes.
How do you know that?
You're hardwired to him, no matter what. You know, I mean, you know right from wrong, right from the beginning.
Are you born again?
No.
So how do you know all this?
Just because you know it.
So it's intuitive?
Yes, you know it.
Do you read the Bible?
I've read it before.
So what do you think of it? Do you think it's God's word?
Oh, yeah.
Have you obeyed it?
No.
Why not?
Disobedient.
You're a disobedient person?
Yeah.
Rebellious?
Yes.
Sinful?
Yes.
Where are you going when you die?
Not for probably hell if I don't change my ways, you know.
Well, when are you going to die?
Huh?
When are you going to die?
Whenever he calls me or sends me to...
What's that today?
Well, then I'm...
So where would you go if you die today?
Probably hell.
Well, shouldn't you do something about it?
I should, but I'm not.
So what can you do about it?
What can I do about it?
How can you get right with God if you're a sinful person?
Oh, yeah, but all you can do is accept His Son as your Lord and Savior, you know? I mean,
so you know that? Where did you hear that?
Oh, I've known it all along.
Okay. Do you think you're a good person?
No.
You're a sinful person?
Very.
You've broken the Ten Commandments?
All of them.
Okay, name some that you've broken.
Come
have you committed
on.
Adultery?
I'm going to prison.
Have you committed adultery?
Yes.
Have you lied?
All the time.
Stolen?
Yep.
Blasphemed?
Yes.
Have you killed anyone?
I don't want to say that on the tape.
Have you hated someone?
All the time.
The Bible says if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. Mm-hmm. You're a pretty wicked person.
Pretty much.
So shouldn't you repent today?
I should, but I'm not. I don't know why.
Well,
you know?
Tell me what do you think Jesus did on the cross? What was that about?
He died for our sins.
What does that mean? Put it in layman's terms.
he died in our place, you know, so we could live in the afterlife, not on this one, you know. I mean, he's talking about the afterlife.
Do you realize the legal implications?
Yeah.
See, you and I are criminals in God's eyes. He's a judge. We've violated his law, the Ten Commandments. We're heading for his prison, a place called hell without parole. Mm-hmm. Jesus paid our fine in full. Mm-hmm. When he said it is finished, you're saying the fine is paid.
Yeah.
So God can legally dismiss your case. He can let you live.
Only if you take his son as your Lord and Savior.
Well, you're missing out something that's absolutely vital. You know what it is? Repentance.
Oh, yeah, man. No.
You've got to repent. Yeah. And that's probably what's missing in your life. Do you know what contrition is?
No. Tell me in layman's.
Okay. Contrition is being sorrowful for your sins.
I'm not loving.
Yeah, you love your sin.
Mm-hmm.
You out here lusting after women?
Oh, all the time.
So you need a new heart with new desires. And God can do that, Tom. If you repent, trust Christ today, you'll be born again with new heart and new desires. Man, if you knew the exact moment you're going to die, you'd realize the implications of your foolishness, that your eternity is at stake. And you need to say, God, please help me. What's wrong with me? You know what's wrong is you love sin and you won't let it go.
Mm-hmm.
You're like a rich man who wouldn't let go of his gold when his ship was sinking and he sunk with it.
Well,
you got to let go of it. Say, God, my sins are precious to me. Please help me get rid of them. And God will grant you repentance and he'll change you from the inside. He did it to me 38 years ago and he can do it to you today. He does it with millions. But the ball's in your court. Just say, God, help me, and he'll give you repentance and bring you to himself. Does this make sense what I'm saying?
Oh, no, I know. It's true.
Do you think God could be speaking to you today through me?
Sure.
Well, why don't you do something? When are you going to get right with him?
I don't know.
Why not today? I'm pleading with you. Get right with God today. He knows when you're going to die. You don't know when you are. Could be tonight. You could choke on a peanut.
It could be right here in front of you.
Yeah. So today, I mean, I don't know what else to say to you, man. This is so important. This is where you spend eternity. All right? Can we pray in a minute?
Sure, you can pray for me, but I mean, like I said, it's probably not going to do any good.
You have a Bible at home?
No, not right now.
Can I give you a free book? Would you read it if I give it to you?
No, I've already read them all.
You haven't read this one?
Probably have. I don't want to read it.
That's prejudice.
No, it isn't.
You're prejudging a book before you've opened it. You don't even know what it is.
I've read the Bible, and that's...
Have you read it from cover to cover?
Yeah.
I don't know if I believe you. It took me about 5 months, and it was pretty dry in the middle.
Yeah.
And you read every word?
Yeah.
Why did you do that?
I wanted to know what he had to say.
And did you find out?
Mm-hmm.
And what did God say? What's the summation?
I'm a filthy sinner.
And you, God, he offers you everlasting life. You repent and trust the Savior. Okay, let me pray with you, okay?
Sure.
Thanks, Tom. Father, I pray for Tom, please.
Learn how to share your faith biblically.
Each week, we send out a free ministry update, and it contains a short video clip. Ray finds colorful characters, he witnesses to them, and then I chalk talk the clip. Here's some samples.
Do you believe in God?
Of course.
I believe God actually learns through us.
There's a heaven right here.
Multiple times a day. God hugs me.
What planet are you living on?
I have no problem standing before the Lord as I am.
After seeing new clips each week and understanding the biblical principles behind them, you will end up saying, I could do that. There's no charge for the update. Just go here and sign up here, and we'll send it to you every week.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only forgotten son.
Also, while you're there, check out the School of Biblical Evangelism.
The School of Biblical Evangelism is a full-blown online evangelism course. It'll help you overcome your fears. It'll help give you the answers to the 100 most commonly asked questions and objections to the Christian faith.
You'll find details on livingwaters.com.
One of the first things that happens at a trial is the arraignment, where the case is stated against the accused. It's a formal accusation to which the accused is expected to enter a plea of either guilty or not guilty. That's our word for today, accusation. Hi, this is Dan Hayden, and I have a word from the Word for you. The trial of Jesus began with an accusation. It was the Jewish community versus Jesus, and Pilate asked the Jewish leaders to present a formal indictment. In John 18:29, John explains the situation. He says, "Pilate therefore went out to them and said, 'What accusation do you bring against this man?'" You see, Pilate would have none of their foolishness. What he wanted was a formal accusation. The word accusation is a compound word in the Greek text. It's the Greek word agora, which is the word for a marketplace or community, with the prefix preposition kata, meaning against. So the compound word kategoria literally means against someone in the community. Actually, kategoria is where we get our English word category. What Pilate wanted was a category. Under which category of the law was he supposed to try Jesus? Well, at first the Jews tried to put Jesus into the category of a rebellious insurrectionist. But in his interrogation of Jesus, Pilate found him innocent of that charge. So finally the Jews were forced to come forth with the real indictment. Jesus had claimed to be God, and for that, according to Jewish law, he ought to die. You see, that's the only reason Jesus was crucified. He was not a criminal according to Roman law. It was simply because he claimed to be God. That was the formal accusation. Now you know the real meaning of the word. This is Dan Hayden. Hey, Jesus is God, you know. John proves it in his gospel.
A Word from the Word is an apologetics ministry emphasizing the trustworthiness of the Bible, and an exposition ministry exploring the biblical text for answers to life's most pressing issues. Visit our website today at awordfromtheword.org.
Dig the doctrines of grace? Do 5-point tulips make you stand up and shout amen? Are you praying for a Proverbs 31 woman or an Ephesians 5 man? Then check out wretchedharmony.com. We're new, we're free, and we're here for Christian singles seeking to serve Christ and find godly mates. We're starting up weekly studies in biblical manhood for the fellows and biblical womanhood for the ladies. Come check us out, wretchedharmony.com, for God-honoring marriages.
Seeing some showdowns in Minnesota lately between open-air preachers and the law. This would be the latest one. Again, we take you to Duluth, right up there on Lake Superior. It looks like this is not going to end well, except for the fact that the young man doing the open-air preaching, he knew what his rights are.
See, you all are believing a lie. The Bible says that the God of this world has blinded the eyes of those who do not believe. You're believing a lie that you were born this way. It's not true. See, God can set you free. Jesus Christ has the power and the ability to free you.
Please cross over to the other side of the street.
Can I ask you what ordinance I'm breaking? What law I'm breaking, sir?
Because it's a private party. You can stay on the sidewalk over there.
But I believe this is a public area, that this is a public sidewalk, but that's... I know we can't be in the liquor license area, but I... To my best of my knowledge, this is a public area, and there was actually a court case in Minneapolis just recently where a man was arrested for passing out Bibles in a public park. They had a permit for the area, but it was a public park, and he was arrested, and he actually won that court case because it was still a public area.
All right. Stay on the sidewalk.
Okay.
Thanks, sir.
Yeah, baby! What a thug! He just thought for sure, here's going to be another guy who gets ripped off the street for practicing his First Amendment right. No, he knew the law. He cited it to this fellow. And we got it. Look, this guy right here. You got to give him props right there. It's not just police officers. It's just human beings. We don't like to change our mind and back down. So to you, dear officer, if you're watching... And if he is, then I'm going to go buy a lottery ticket. The odds are pretty much the same. Way to go, sir. Way to be willing to say, hey, okay, I got it wrong. You are correct. You can stay. So props to him and props to the young man doing the open-air preaching for knowing these days you've got to know your theology so you can defend that, and you've got to know the law to defend your rights.
The Way of the Master Minute. Here's Kirk Cameron and Ray Comfort.
Most people keep to themselves.
They're birds of a feather and they prefer to keep it that way, but not the Christian. We know that we must speak to strangers. Fortunately, we have the example of the way of the Master. If you study John chapter 4, you'll see that Jesus took the initiative by speaking first to the woman at the well. He didn't wait for her to ask why he had peace in his eyes, or to mention the things of God. He had an agenda to share the gospel with her, so he initiated the conversation.
We have a clear agenda. We want the world to hear the gospel and to be saved. They're not going to come to us, so we have to go to them. So break free from the flock of shy birds and fly with the message of everlasting life.
There goes another minute. Gone forever. Go share your faith while you still have time.
Brought to you by wayofthemasterradio.com.
Breaking news just in. A tornado has touched down here in the valley with a fury beyond compare, leaving behind a massive trail of destruction. Unconfirmed reports estimate hundreds of casualties due to the lack of warning. And sadly, these numbers will most likely only increase in the coming days. Rescue workers are continuing to search for any survivors.
Oh, dear God. She's so young. Please. Please don't take her away from me.
Death and pain. Do you ever wonder how a loving God can allow such suffering? To find biblical, sensitive answers and to receive a free booklet, go to AnswersRadio.com. This has been a message from Answers in Genesis.
Proverbs 15:13 says, "A happy heart makes the face cheerful." That's the power of comedy. It has the power to tear down barriers and to bring people together. For over two decades, Christian comedian Nazareth has been making audiences laugh.
Like poor countries, they don't have junk food. They're always fighting. Wherever there's a Burger King, there's peace. Because after eating a double whopper, you don't want to fight.
Nazareth was born in the biblical town of Nazareth and grew up in Kuwait.
Someone had the nerve to take me to a zoo. A small zoo. I paid $20 to see an elephant, a camel, a bull, and a donkey. In my country, that's a car dealership.
After several years of living in America and experiencing worldly success but no happiness, a Christian comedian introduced him to Christ, and Nazareth has been using his comedy for the kingdom ever since. If you're looking for a powerful outreach tool to touch church members and those who wouldn't ordinarily set foot in a church, consider Nazareth. Find out more today by going to www.nazarethusa.com or by calling 1-866-9-LAUGHS.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
Are you good enough to go to heaven? Let's see. Have you lied, stolen, blasphemed, or looked with lust, which God sees as adultery? If you have, then you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart. And if you are guilty, you will end up in hell. But God sent Jesus to die on the cross for you and defeat death. You broke God's law, but Jesus paid your fine. God can now legally dismiss your case. Repent, trust in Jesus, and God will give you everlasting life. NeedGod.com.
Do you dig the doctrines of grace? Do 5-point tulips make you stand up and shout amen? Are you praying for a Proverbs 31 woman or an Ephesians 5 man? Then check out WretchedHarmony.com. We're new, we're free, and we're here for Christian singles seeking to serve Christ and find godly mates. We're starting up weekly studies in biblical manhood for the fellas and biblical womanhood for the ladies. Come check us out, WretchedHarmony.com, for God-honoring marriages.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio. I'm your host, Melissa Cantrella. If you want to find out more about us, you can also go to truthbetoldradio.com, truthbetoldradio.com. Later in the second hour, we're going to be talking about the Antichrist, the lesson, and if you want to call in, also to ask questions with our guest, Chan Arnett, call in 347 area code 884-9505. That's 347-884-9505. Once again, 347 area code 884-9505. We won't be talking to him to the second hour though. So if you want to talk to him, you have to wait online. But while you're waiting online, you can of course listen to us. And I wanted to also let you know that all of our shows are archived on blogtalkradio.com and also on iTunes for free, so you can download the past shows and listen to our shows that we have. And that's all free, like I said, on iTunes and also on blogtalkradio.com. That's where we air from. And thank you for listening to us on Truth Be Told Radio. Also, if you liked it, please tell others. That helps us. And hopefully that you enjoy our show. And thank you for listening once again. And let's see. I'm trying to get, see if my next file is ready to play. Also, please support our people that we have on, like Wretched Harmony. Wretched Harmony is, like it says, for God-honoring marriages. It's for people who want, that are Christians, that want to find other Christians, people serious about God and want to have a relationship that leads to marriage. And so check out WretchedHarmony.com, WretchedHarmony.com, that's WRETCHED, that's Wretched, and Harmony is HARMONY, WretchedHarmony.com. And appreciate it if you go there. And let's see if I got my file ready now. Oh yeah, here it goes. This one talking about talking with Paul Copan. That's C-O-P-A-N. Called Paul Copan. And he's a what you call a apologetist, teaching about defending the faith of Christianity. So listeners, thank you for listening on Truth Be Told Radio.
Well, you clicked back to us again, and we're thankful for that. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Overflow Today. I'm Joseph Hanford, and we're talking today with Paul Copan, author of a great book called True for You, But Not for Me. It answers objections to the Christian faith. And Paul, I'd love to throw another one at you today, one that we hear sometimes about, as Christians, we like to share our faith and tell others about Jesus. And we hear sometimes, what right do you have to convert others to your point of view?
Well, of course, the problem with that view is that that person is trying to convert you to his view, that you shouldn't convert people to other views. And so it's an inconsistent stance. But I think it's important to understand why we tell people that we're Christians. We want to tell people that we found something good. We're like one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. So it's not as though I'm acting as though I'm better than you. I'm just someone who is in great need, just as we all are. And so I'm passing on this good news that I hope you'll consider too. It's sort of like you find a great restaurant, you want to pass on the good news. It's not as though I'm saying I'm better than you because I go to this restaurant and you don't. So, you know, and of course, it's interesting, this person believes that it's immoral to convert someone to another point of view. Where does that moral stand come from? I'd like to know where that standard is, because in a relativistic society, you can't have those sorts of moral standards. Well, the person who is saying, who are you to impose your moral values on others, is basically taking the stand of a person who believes that there are real rights and real wrongs and that you shouldn't do certain things. And so that person has this moral standard, and he's basically doing the same sort of thing that he's accusing the Christian of doing, saying that certain things are wrong, that you shouldn't do them, you ought not to do certain imposing. Well, again, he becomes an authority on moral matters, and so he, in a sense, is throwing stones when he himself is living in a glass house himself.
Paul, could you answer another one for us today?
Sure.
One we hear a lot is, you're intolerant, or you Christians are intolerant for believing that. So, Paul, then what is false tolerance, and contrast that with true tolerance?
False tolerance is accepting all views as true, and if I do that, then I'm going to be accepting contradictory views, including the person that I disagree with, who is intolerant. But true tolerance is putting up with what I find disagreeable or false. I can accept the person with whom I disagree. I don't have to collapse my belief with the person, and because that person disagrees with me, then therefore I don't like that person. But rather, I can say, you know, we can disagree, we can agree to disagree, but we can still hang around and be friends. You know, I can show acceptance to you, but even if we disagree, that doesn't have to mean that we part company on these sorts of issues.
Dig the doctrines of grace? Do 5-point tulips make you stand up and shout amen? Are you praying for a Proverbs 31 woman or an Ephesians 5 man? Then check out wretchedharmony.com. We're new, we're free, and we're here for Christian singles seeking to serve Christ and find godly mates. We're starting up weekly studies in biblical manhood for the fellows and biblical womanhood for the ladies. Come check us out, wretchedharmony.com, for God-honoring marriages.
Down here in the valley with a fury beyond compare, leaving behind a massive trail of destruction. Unconfirmed reports estimate hundreds of casualties due to the lack of warning, and sadly these numbers will most likely only increase in the coming days. Rescue workers are continuing to search for any survivors.
Oh dear God, she's so young. Please, please don't take her away from me.
Death and pain. Do you ever wonder how a loving God can allow such suffering? To find biblical, sensitive answers and to receive a free booklet, go to AnswersRadio.com. This has been a message from Answers in Genesis.
The Way of the Master Minute. Here's Kurt Cameron and Ray Comfort.
Most people keep to themselves. They're birds of a feather, and they prefer to keep it that way, but not the Christian. We know that we must speak to strangers. Fortunately, we have the example of the way of the Master. If you study John chapter 4, you'll see that Jesus took the initiative by speaking first to the woman at the well. He didn't wait for her to ask why he had peace in his eyes, or to mention the things of God. He had an agenda to share the gospel with her, so he initiated the conversation.
We have a clear agenda. We want the world to hear the gospel and to be saved. They're not going to come to us, so we have to go to them. So break free from the flock of shy birds and fly with the message of everlasting life.
There goes another minute. Gone forever. Go share your faith while you still have time.
Brought to you by WayOfTheMasterRadio.com.
Proverbs 15:13 says, "A happy heart makes the face cheerful." That's the power of comedy. It has the power to tear down barriers and to bring people together. For over two decades, Christian comedian Nazareth has been making audiences laugh.
Like poor countries, they don't have junk food. They're always fighting. Wherever there's a Burger King, there's peace. Because after eating a double whopper, you don't want to fight.
Nazareth was born in the biblical town of Nazareth and grew up in Kuwait.
Someone had the nerve to take me to a zoo. A small zoo.
I pay $20 to see an elephant, a camel, a bull, and a donkey. In my country, that's a car dealership.
After several years of living in America and experiencing worldly success, but no happiness, a Christian comedian introduced him to Christ, and Nazareth has been using his comedy for the kingdom ever since. If you're looking for a powerful outreach tool to touch church members and those who wouldn't ordinarily set foot in a church, consider Nazareth. Find out more today by going to www.nazarethusa.com or by calling 1-866-9-LAUGHS. You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
Breaking news just in. A tornado has touched down here in the valley with a fury beyond compare, leaving behind a massive trail of destruction. Unconfirmed reports estimate hundreds of casualties due to the lack of warning. And sadly, these numbers will most likely only increase in the coming days. Rescue workers are continuing to search for any survivors.
Oh, dear God. She's so young. Please, please don't take her away from me.
Death and pain. Do you ever wonder how a loving God can allow such suffering? To find biblical, sensitive answers and to receive a free booklet, go to AnswersRadio.com. This has been a message from Answers in Genesis.
Are you good enough to go to heaven? Let's see. Have you lied, stolen, blasphemed, or looked with lust, which God sees as adultery? If you have, then you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart. And if you are guilty, you will end up in hell. But God sent Jesus to die on the cross for you and defeat death. You broke God's law, but Jesus paid your fine. God can now legally dismiss your case. Repent, trust in Jesus, and God will give you everlasting life. NeedGod.com.
Welcome back to Truth Be Told Radio. Guy Reynolds, your co-host. Long time no here.
I forgot to turn off the mute button. I forgot to turn off the mute button. No wonder.
Hey, that's a common mishap in certain types of radio, but being as professional as we are,
Sorry. I'll try to tell them that later we're going to talk about the the Antichrist, and then Taryn, he's going to join us, and he's going to talk about that. So what have you been doing, Guy, lately?
Well, I had a lot of stuff going on, and I know a couple weeks ago we did the it might have been 3 weeks ago, maybe it was two, busy December. I'm wanting to try to get my my show Truth Decay back on. It's been a year. I can't believe it's been a year, but it has been a year.
It really has been that long.
My last podcast, it has, and I feel so bad, but I think God's been preparing me to do different things. I've been trying to get started doing clowning. We've been doing puppetry and lots of dramas and things like that with the with our church, and God's been doing some amazing things and touching people's
you're
lives.
Super good with that balloon twisting. I've done the balloon twisting, but like, oh, you're so good. I've seen them on your Facebook. I mean, the pictures.
I mean, God could use that stuff, and you know, and I also been out. I regretfully didn't get to go Black Friday, pass out tracts or anything, but the about three or four days earlier than that, I did get to go to, I have it on recording. I don't know how good the audio is. I haven't checked it yet, but I did put a recorder in my pocket, my coat pocket, and I walked around with the cross. Basically, the cross a friend of mine made me is a 4-foot cross, or, you know, 4-foot long cross, and says, "Are you ready on?" Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people, a lot of listeners have known what those are. You've maybe seen it on my Facebook or something, but yeah, I just basically walked around not knowing, you know, I thought, well, I was going to just stand at one spot and maybe open air, but God had different plans. So I got a pocket full of tracks. It wasn't terribly cold outside, so I just walked around the outskirts of the parade there on the sidewalks where people were standing and walked around handing out tracks. I had a lot of great conversations with people, probably more than what I would have had just passing out tracks. The people that I keyed in on, people that, you know, that said, "Well, ready for what?" And I'd go over and be able to talk to them, or the people that I talked to that said, "I'm ready," and then they don't even, they may know, but I'll go ahead and tell you, 99.9% of the people I talked to said they were ready and knew what it meant and weren't ready, because you they're faced with the law and the gospel, and they don't know what it is to be saved, what it takes to be saved. They think, a lot of them just thought just going to church would be a good person, much like we've heard on a lot of areas, you know, with Witness Wednesday with Wretched Radio and Adventures of Roman and George, and just, you know, with Living Water stuff that you heard earlier, and stuff you hear from people is just amazing. But the thing is, though, you're not going to hear that if you don't get out there and do it. And I'm not saying that in a works righteousness matter. I had heard a sermon recently that talked about, it keyed in on Matthew, I believe it was chapter 6, the very early verses of that, being the light of the world, shining our light out there. That's all well and good. Christians are going to do that. That's great. We need to open our mouths. I mean, I agree that being a Christian, showing you're a Christian, and so we use a lot of things as icebreakers. We use tracks as icebreakers. God could bring up the conversation just a bit, in just about anything that we do. God could bring up a conversation and for us to act upon it. And a lot of times, I'll tell you the truth, I've chickened out. I've felt the Holy Spirit's prompting, and I haven't continued the conversation. God had made it the conversations to where they swing right to, you know, gospel, and I hadn't taken the advantage of that. But there are times where God has done that, and I took a full advantage of it. And I'm hoping that, I pray that God's going to continue to have me go out. And it's been a while since I've been out with the cross, and God had really put burdens on my heart for that and to do that. And I think He does that with certain people that want to do His will. He will put burdens on your heart, and He'll just crush you until you go out and actually be obedient and open your mouth. And you know that I go ahead and tell you, it's been a while since I've been out with the cross. I went out there, like I said, and I was fearful. I was, until the first conversation, and it was a guy named Randy, and he said, "Ready for what?" And I went over and talked to him, and obviously there's lots of distractions. There was a rather inebriated guy, a guy that was had too much to drink that was beside him, listening to the conversation, he tried to interrupt, and I would just kind of use that from thank you, Tony Mayano, for that that bit of information of handling drunks and on that thing. And I handled it pretty well. The guy, Randy, got the gospel. He got a gospel track. And I proceeded to talk to, which I really know a lot of, the drunk guy, and he didn't have anyone have anything to do with me, so I tried to hand him a track. He wouldn't receive it, nothing. So I moved on and got to talk to a kid that wouldn't tell me his name at first, but I also learned this from Tony Mayano and some of the other guys out there like Mike Stockwell. If someone don't tell you their name, you call them Bob. So I called the guy Bob until he told me his name. He knew what I was, you know, after he knew, kind of got comfortable talking to me, he told me his name was Jason. So, and I was told later on, someone that knew Jason, that he was really thinking about what we had talked about. So pray for Jason. Don't know where God got him at, but I'm pretty sure the conversation we had, it was filled with the gospel, and I pray that God would convict him. But, yeah, I had other conversations that, you know, maybe for future use if I can get some audio that I got. And but I had some other conversations that went well, and God's just been dealing with me to go out and preach the gospel, and I'm sure he's done that with lots of people. And also studying and with prayer, and God's been calling me to do lots of that, and I'm trying to be obedient as I can, but not put too much on my plate. So bear with me. I'll have my Truth Decay put back up very, very soon. I'm hoping by the end of this month have some things. And I know Chan Arnett, who we're going to have in the next hour, is going to be on there talking about the Antichrist. We have some great Bible studies at my house on subjects like that, like the rapture and the Antichrist and the world empire to come. Also talked a little bit on Judas and a little bit on just different things that have to do with future events that have not yet happened and events that have happened. So, and Chan will get more into that, but have some interesting stuff. And with that, very interesting. If Chan is something different than you've heard possibly from any guy like Perry Stone or any other prophecy guy you could think of. You know, we're of the same cloth of searching for truth, and I believe that's all Christians are supposed to be doing is keeping searching for truth, not necessarily someone else's opinion on something. And if Chan has an observation, an observation on something, he'll tell you that's an observation. And if he has something he feels that Scripture is led in to show truth to, then he will tell you that too. Pretty upfront. And I like that about him. He's been a friend of mine for a long time. So it's going to be very interesting when he gets called in and talk about the Antichrist. But, yeah, I have some great stuff going on and stuff in store coming up, you know, that we're going to try to get put on the show. I'm wanting to try to bring back Bible trivia. I'm wanting to try to bring back because I've got some stuff I got from the Deeper Conference that I'm itching to give away. I know we don't have a lot of listeners, but people who maybe podcast us can email one of us or go to truthbetoldradio.com and post something in order to get the prizes. We'll start doing Bible trivia pretty soon. And what's been going on with you?
I know, I've been waiting. I was going to say that I also went up. There's an outreach close to here. It was in Riverside, California. It's by the convention center. It's a thing called the Festival of Lights. They're having the Festival of Lights all like month in December. I think they start actually in November, and I think it goes like a little bit to January. And well, they have a whole bunch of different things down there, but we do like this outreach. Like there was different people from different churches, and they came there like to open air preach, and then also like give out gospel tracts. And like I got to do open air preach. In case they don't know, that's when you like basically stand on a box and preach like the bad news, good news, or if you just want to read from the Bible too, to do that too. And I used two different times. I bought, like, there was gingerbread cookies that they're selling there, and I bought those, and I used that. I used, like, I have this little gospel trap that it's the side of a business card, and it says something about whose list are you on? Are you on are you on Santa's list? It has a little bulb, and then you put your finger there. It says, like, if it changes that, like, you're a good person, and of course, like, it doesn't. So, like, it's saying that they're just like the rest of us. There was a girl there, and her name was Hannah, and she was actually with a bunch of people, like, that were coming from church. A lot of people do that, like, they come down there, too, like, we come down there, but they came there. And, I didn't know at first, and then I was telling her, like, the law, like, the bad news and goodness, and then she was like, saying, well, I'm a Christian, but then I invited her to, like, I was like, well, share your testimony, like, tell us how you became a Christian, basically, and then she was mentioning about love, and she said something like she didn't have love, but I was thinking about, well, yeah, that is a good thing, like, you do get love from God, but I was thinking, I told her, I was like, well, but that's, like, basically, I was saying, like, we need Jesus, like, I used the parachute analogy, I was like, I was basically trying to say, like, yeah, it's good to get love from God, but that's not what the real reason we need him. The reason we need him is that he's going to save us from hell. And then, like, you know, with the parachute, you say, like, well, there's a flight, and then you have a flight, and telling you your parachute is saying, like, that I'm going to, like, jump out of pain, like, or it's going to crash anytime soon. And the parachute is going to save your life, and the parachute is evidently that Jesus, he's going to save you from hell. And even if the road's bumpy, or even if you, like in her case, she said love, if you get love or not, I told her about the part where Jesus says that people will hate you because of him, and even your mother and your father or sister or brother, they'll give you up. They'll betray you because of Jesus. And doesn't mean everything can happen to everybody, but I'm saying, like, it can happen because he warned us about that. And I think she, like, understood that, but I was just trying to point out that, like, it kind of seemed like the way people try to do now, like, say, like, come to Jesus for, like, prosperity or health or something like that. I don't know if she, I was assuming that she really is Christian, but it was still good to talk to her, but I wanted to point that out. And I even told her, even if you notice, I'm trying to point it out to everybody else that that's the, you know, basically the reason we need Jesus, and I need to come to him. And, you know, and then of course I mentioned, like, repentance, turning from sins, put your trust Jesus alone for salvation. Could I talk more, but, like, I'm just trying to summarize it right here. And then the end, I gave her that, I mentioned, like, this before, the gingerbread cookie. I was like, well, and since you were so brave to come over here, and then also because, like, it's a free gift, like, saying, like, you know, like, Jesus, like, it's a free gift of salvation. Well, you get this anyway, even though you don't deserve it, and I gave it to her. And that was my open air encounter. It was actually the second time I've ever done that. The first time was last year at the other another festival, like the same kind of event. It was last year, and they actually did it in the same place. So if you want to come down there, I'm not totally for sure if they're gonna come next Saturday, but I'm hoping people will, because the person who usually does it, he is not going to make it that Saturday. but there's other people that have come before, so maybe they'll step up. So check that out. It's Riverside Convention Center if you're in California, and it's called Festival Lights. And was like we said earlier, we're going to talk about the Antichrist later in the second hour. If you want to call in and talk to Chan, make sure you call now. I found out for some weird reason that Vlog Talk Radio ended up scheduling us from 1 to 3 p.m. Pacific time, so that means that we won't be totally live. We'll be in a state, it will be on, but we won't be like streaming live. You'll be able to hear us on the phone. So if you really want to talk to Chan Arnett, we're going to talk, even though you can't hear show live, you'll be able to hear it on archive. Call in now at 347-884-9505. That's 347 area code. And then, like I said, 884-9505. So if you're listening, call in now. And if you want to ask Chan some questions about the Antichrist. And later in I think next week or the week after that, we're going to be talking about, or maybe we'll continue the Antichrist. It depends on what Chan would like to do. But I think we will be starting another subject, which is came up with me. I thought that was very important. It's called annihilationism, and I said I call it annihilation versus eternal hell, because what basically an annihilation person believes is that like you go to hell, like if someone goes to hell they go to hell, but like they suffer like a certain degree. Like, maybe it's intense or less, depending on the person. But still, in the end, like, basically, after that suffering, they get, like, poof, they're gone. They're, like, totally obliterated. And to me, it's, like, basically ridiculous because it wouldn't make any sense to have that kind of punishment with when it's actually a relief to be annihilated if you're like just poof and that's it, because it'd be it makes more of a sense to have eternal hell, because eternal God and an eternal life with in heaven. But Chan will explain that I think next week or the week after that. But this week, like I said, we're doing on the Antichrist, and you have to call in now at 347-884-9505 if you want to talk to him. But it won't be till to the next hour. But what happens is we will not be streaming live, but you'll be able to hear it in archive, because for some weird reason everything got scheduled from, instead of 2 p.m. that I usually do, to 4 p.m. Pacific. It got scheduled from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. I'm sorry about that, but hopefully you'll get to call in and talk to him. Gary, are you still there?
Hear me?
Yeah. Did you hear what I said?
Yeah. I don't wonder why it's like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I tried to put it from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. when I scheduled it, and I don't know, for some reason, ended up doing 1 p.m. I don't know if it was my fault or whatever happened. It's really weird to me, but I'm still going to have Chan on, and he'll be able to talk, because what happens is after the show is over, it still goes on for about an hour after the show ends. It's just the way they let you do that, but he can't play any files, but he didn't have any, he didn't want to play anything anyways, any audio, just talking. So, let's see what I'm going to do now. I have to look. I think I was trying to upload something. Let me see. see if that's ready. Well, let's see what we'll do. I think we'll take a break, and then thanks for listening to Truth Be Told Radio, and like I said, we'll take a break.
Do you dig the doctrines of grace? Do 5-point tulips make you stand up and shout amen? Are you praying for a Proverbs 31 woman or an Ephesians 5 man? Then check out WretchedHarmony.com. We're new, we're free, and we're here for Christian singles seeking to serve Christ and find godly mates. We're starting up weekly studies in biblical manhood for the fellows and biblical womanhood for the ladies. Come check us out, WretchedHarmony.com, for God-honoring marriages.
Breaking news just in. A tornado has touched down here in the valley with a fury beyond compare, leaving behind a massive trail of destruction. Unconfirmed reports estimate hundreds of casualties due to the lack of warning. And sadly, these numbers will most likely only increase in the coming days. Rescue workers are continuing to search for any survivors.
Oh, dear God. She's so young. Please. Please don't take her away from me.
Death and pain. Do you ever wonder how a loving God can allow such suffering? To find biblical, sensitive answers and to receive a free booklet, go to AnswersRadio.com. This has been a message from Answers in Genesis.
Proverbs 15:13 says, "A happy heart makes the face cheerful." That's the power of comedy. It has the power to tear down barriers and to bring people together. For over two decades, Christian comedian Nazareth has been making audiences laugh.
Like poor countries, they don't have junk food. They're always fighting. Wherever there's a Burger King, there's peace. Because after eating a double whopper, you don't want to fight.
Nazareth was born in the biblical town of Nazareth and grew up in Kuwait.
Someone had the nerve to take me to a zoo. A small zoo. I paid $20 to see an elephant, a camel, a bull, and a donkey. In my country, that's a car dealership.
After several years of living in America and experiencing worldly success but no happiness, a Christian comedian introduced him to Christ, and Nazareth has been using his comedy for the kingdom ever since. If you're looking for a powerful outreach tool to touch church members and those who wouldn't ordinarily set foot in a church, consider Nazareth. Find out more today by going to www.nazarethusa.com or by calling 1-866-9-LAUGHS.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
The Way of the Master Minute. Here's Kurt Cameron and Ray Comfort.
Most people keep to themselves. They're birds of a feather and they prefer to keep it that way, but not the Christian. We know that we must speak to strangers. Fortunately, we have the example of the way of the Master. If you study John chapter 4, you'll see that Jesus took the initiative by speaking first to the woman at the well. He didn't wait for her to ask why he had peace in his eyes, or to mention the things of God. He had an agenda to share the gospel with her, so he initiated the conversation.
We have a clear agenda. We want the world to hear the gospel and to be saved. They're not going to come to us, so we have to go to them. So break free from the flock of shy birds and fly with the message of everlasting life.
There goes another minute. Gone forever. Go share your faith while you still have time.
Brought to you by WayOfTheMasterRadio.com.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio. A little bit we have chat on it, but our show's going to go off. Actually, it did now. So, let's see. I'm going to have to read from, because I can't play any more files a little bit. Going to read from Atheist Central and to give Chan a little bit of time. Let's see. This one's called Holy Wise and Holy Christian. This is from a blog called Ray, well, the address is raycomfortfood.blogspot.com, but it's called Atheist Central. And this one starts out, says, this is Ray, he writes it, does it, oh, this is a question they're asking, does it or does it not say Mark 7:9? And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. 7:10. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curses father or mother, let him die the death. It does somehow, am I supposed to read this, huh? How should I morally accept what I read here? Jesus is saying anyone that curses their father or mother, let them die the death, or as the Old Testament says, stone them to death. Please explain this to me, oh wise, holy, good Christian. I mean, gosh, I am just godless, heathen, atheist. What do I know? Caveman 73. This is Ray saying, you are right to be horrified by these verses of Scripture. But before we look at the answer as to why you should be horrified, let's pull back for a moment and look at what you call nature and what I call creation. Think of what happens when someone falls off a 60-story balcony. The consequences of a human being falling and hitting the ground are horrific. Or think of what happens when a human being is trapped in a house that is consumed in an inferno. That's also horrific. How now would you answer someone who said to you, oh, wise and Mr. Caveman, please explain this to me? You would probably say, well, that's just the way it is. That's the natural world in which we live, in which there are consequences. So make sure you don't fall off 60-story buildings, and make sure you have smoke detectors and fire extinguishers in your home. In Mark 7 and in many other places, Jesus expounds the harshness of God's moral law. That law demands the death sentence for violation of the Sabbath, for adultery, homosexuality, for murder, blasphemy, for dishonor of parents. It is extremely harsh, harsher than the laws that govern fire and gravity. Jesus warned that the morally perfect law demands that we give an account of even every idle word we speak. It considers lust to be adultery and hatred to be murder. Look at how the Bible says those who reject the gospel will come under even greater wrath. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? Hebrews 10:28-29, New King James Version. Jesus warned that the justice of God on Judgment Day will grind sinners to powder. When something is ground to powder, a thorough job is done. Nothing is left, and that's how it will be on Judgment Day. No one will be left unturned. Every transgression of the law will receive retribution. That's the way it is. But thank God that's not the way it needs to be. For you and me, we have the smoke detector of good conscience, and if we will listen to it, it will alarm us and send us to the cross. That's where the consuming fire of God's wrath will extinguish for those who repent and trust in the Savior. And that's from raycomfortfood.blogspot.com, also known as Atheist Central. And if you want to read that again, that one's called O Wise and Holy Christian. Thank you for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. and we are going to be talking about the Antichrist soon. I don't see Chan in the queue yet, though. I don't know if he's going to be able to now. Let me check something. See if he sent me a text message or something. Nope.
Are you there?
Well, hello?
Hello, Melissa.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, since the show is now live and not streaming, if he can call in.
Yeah, that's what I'm not sure. I'm gonna text him and see what he says.
You could probably reset the show and just schedule one for now, and just go ahead and start it.
Yeah, it only lets you do once a day, so that's the problem. Let me think. Let's see. I don't know if it's now. Let's see if there's anything to talk about. Well, one thing I wanted to talk about is I wanted him to talk about, I don't know if he's going to be able to come in and talk about it, but I wanted him to talk about, like, because I think we should actually talk about this. There's various, theories on who the Antichrist is or what it is or what he will be, and I think we could actually talk about some of those things just in case he can't come on. We could at least talk about, like, the theories of different what people think the Antichrist is or who he will be or whatever. One of the ones that I have heard, there's this guy, his name Mike Hoggard, H-O-G-G-A-R-D, and he goes by Harkin the Watchman on the YouTube channel. And one of the ones he has suggested is he suggests that it isn't going to be an actual, like just a man that comes, because what most people think is that the Antichrist is going to be a man that, like, is brought to world power, and he's, like, leader of the world, but he's just, like, he's, like, possessed by the devil. They think he's going to be, he's evil because he's possessed by the devil, maybe himself, or at least, like, led by the spirit, like, of Satan, like, basically. And, but the thing that he says is that guy Mike Hoggard, he says, like a lot of times it says the demon, it's like a demon from, he calls it the abyss, like, is that, I think it's like there's like the water and it opens up, and then he said it's called they call him Abaddon or Apollyon, and he thinks it's actually a demon that was set in place to be the Antichrist, but only a certain time, like, he gets released. And that's one theory that I heard. And then, of course, the one, like I said, that most people think that he's a world leader. I mean, like, right now he's not, like, in power, but, like, he'll be a world leader that gets set in power at a certain time. And have you heard of any other theories and things that you might want to share?
Well, I mean, I've heard as much as you've heard, in the sense of a political leader or someone that's going on now, and there's going to be talk about that, a bunch of talk about that. And the fact of the matter is, biblically, there is no the Antichrist is going to come from out of nowhere. No one's going to be able to trace his origin. We don't know where he's going to come from. We don't know what descent. We can guess on what descent he would be, but that would be it. That would just be a guess, and that would be basically not scripture, not something we can solidify and be solid on. But he will come onto the scene. There will be 10 kingdoms already set up, and those 10 kings or leaders will give their power to one man, which is the Antichrist. He will set up a treaty for 7 years, sign a treaty for 7 years to make peace. And halfway into that, 3.5 years into that, this is all according to the book of Revelation and also Daniel's prophecy in Daniel 9. He'll 3.5 years into that, he will break the treaty, go to the temple in Jerusalem, declare himself God, set up his own false doctrine, false religion, and declare himself God to be worshipped. And it's supposed to be the worst time in human history, yes, even for Christians, to go through. Of course, the whole 7 years are going to be bad. You'll have already taken the mark. You'll either be already decided to follow the way of Satan or Jesus Christ. Those who have decided to follow Jesus Christ, that are true Christians, will be running for their lives against the Antichrist. The Antichrist will seek to destroy everyone he can in the name of Jesus Christ. He won't even recognize Christ. That's why a lot of people would say, you know, they would say, well, he's going to be Jewish or he's going to be Muslim or he's going to be this. No, he won't even recognize any religion, Scripture says in Revelation. It says he won't recognize anything. He will not be it won't have Christ in. A lot of people have even said, oh, the false world system is Catholicism. Well, Catholicism would have to totally renounce Jesus Christ to even acknowledge this system is coming, because it's not going to acknowledge Christ. It's going to be anti-Christ, obviously, and it's not even going to mention any other world religion. If anyone knows what ecumenism is. What people like Rick Warren are peddling around. We can all get together. We can all do things together as one. We're all praying to the same God. Let's all work together. In reality, we're commanded to do that. If someone believes something else, they're not. They need truth spoken in their life. And it's what's going to happen towards the end. Just going to be the labor pains, Jesus says. Just the beginning of it. Famines, earthquakes, rumors of wars, wars. So, I mean, this stuff clearly hasn't happened yet. And if anything, we still have another 7 years from whatever point the stuff Revelation makes clear that stuff's going to happen. And Daniel's prophecy also. So, I mean, you can make educated guesses of who he's going to be, what's he going to be like. But in reality, the Bible doesn't tell us much. He tells us specifics on how he's going to come about. Where he's at now, Scripture says in Revelation he is locked in an abyss, and he will be loosened after Jesus breaks the first seal. And of course, this is all what was been taught even through study. Me and Chan have went through tons of Scripture. Chan knows this front and back, knowing this thing and where it's at. But, there's going to be lots of what I was trying to say. There's going to be lots of people saying, hey, this person's that or this person's that, and it's not going to be true. But Christians, those who have truly repented and put their trust in Jesus Christ, they'll be weeded out. You'll be a Christian. You'll know. We won't be caught off surprise. Christians will not be caught off surprise. They will know what's going on because of studying. That's so important, to get in there and study your Bible and study it rightly. So many people out there, so many doctrines that say we study the Bible rightly. We have we can provide exposition of the Bible and exegete the Bible rightly. And it's not so. Those who feel like they're exegeting the Bible correctly need to go back and you need to constantly be studying to show yourself approved. That's what Scripture says. You need to be studying and studying truth. Because once again, something me and Chan has also talked about, truth does not contradict. Truth stands on its own. And if you follow a doctrine out and it starts having contradictions in it, then you need to back up and say, okay, why does this have contradictions? And if it does, I need to dismiss it and to move on and to continue seeking truth. But I think that's the main thing, Melissa, and what we're talking about in a lot of areas is seeking truth in matters like this. A lot of people find it fascinating to go into Revelation, see all the stuff that's going to happen, and they like to look at, well, let's look at this symbolically. Well, no, let's look at this literally. And sadly enough, that's what presupposition they have coming into it. They think of things lightly or symbolically when they're clearly If something's clearly symbolic, it's going to say it. If something's clearly literal, it's going to say that. There's no if and you don't read into stuff like that. Now, am I saying there's no symbolism in the Bible? No, I'm not. There is symbolism in the Bible. But you need to be able to discern what symbolism is and what literalism is and what literal scriptures take with what. Because scripture interprets scripture. You can't have the Old Testament without the New Testament and vice versa. You need to look at books like Daniel's prophecy, 70-week prophecy, and even further in there, to compare them to John's vision in Revelation, and they're identical. The only difference is you see that Daniel's vision is looking forward into the future, and John's vision is looking back of what he has seen. So it's amazing how those two coincide if you look in and you do an extensive study on it. Just a small thing that we had as actually 3 or 4 episodes ago of this radio, I went ahead and played our whole Bible study on the rapture, fact or fiction. Once again, I encourage you to go back there, and you see the depths of scripture you have to go through, an hour and 43 minutes worth, to see the truth in it and see no contradictions. Once again, there are paradoxes. There are things we can go through in scripture, like things in Revelation, and say, well, there's a paradox. There's something. Now, paradox simply does not contradict. It's just something you have to stop at and keep studying on. I believe God will, does, and can show an answer for it, but we may not have the knowledge to go through and do it. Now, if you seek righteousness and seek truth, God can, according to his will, show it to you. But that just takes more studying. Once again, paradoxes, it's kind of a puzzling thing. But if you find no contradictions, I say go with it. There's no contradictions. And if there is, you need to stop, look back, and like, for instance, the Antichrist. We can only assume so much of what's going to happen with him, how it's going. But Scripture makes it clear how he's going to come on the scene, that Satan gives him his power and his authority, that he's going to rule the nation, and no one's going to be able to trace his genealogy, know where he come from. And he's going to also perform signs and wonders along with the false prophet. Antichrist, false prophet, and then Satan is directly working with him. So we know that from clear scripture. So anyway, I don't know if I answered any of your questions, but I've heard a lot of stuff that you have, a lot of things, but the thing is, it's not what we think. What does the Bible say? Clear scripture, and if we interpret it, we need to interpret it and with the other scripture to show that it has no error. Because anything outside of that is pure speculation, and we need to dismiss it as being false if it doesn't line up with scripture. Does that make sense?
I'm not really sure. I was trying to get Chan to call in another line that I thought might work, but I'm not really sure what's going to happen because he did say that when he called, it wasn't letting him into the system. So I'm not sure if he's going to be able to call. He's going to try another way to call in, but it looks like it might not happen today. But if it happens that he can't get in, I think I might delete to next week or to schedule a special show. I'm not really sure what I'm going to do. But I think I'll think about that afterward.
I got an idea. It might be a good idea. I know for a fact he's off tomorrow. It might be a good idea to try to set up a special show to talk about that and see how, because I would discuss it with him whenever you get time this evening to set up something maybe for tomorrow if possible, because I know he's off tomorrow.
Well, yeah, that's what I was thinking. I'd do maybe do it tomorrow, because it looks like just the way it is today, that's not going to happen because he can't, call in and then, of course, we can't talk to him about it. So, we only can, talk more by speculating. Let's see.
I have a site, actually. I've been on here. I got an idea for people. It's actually for Christmas. Anna Banana Jackson from evangelismstuff.com has a website called splendidchristmas.com, and I'll spell it for you. www.splendidchristmas.com. That's splendidchristmas.com. It has all kinds of cool stuff on there for families. Christmas family fun pages, as a maze, a word search, some coloring. Also, Christmas cookies you can make with your family. You have recipes there. Also, Christmas crafts. These are all free resources you can print out on splendidchristmas.com. Also, they have Christmas carols, like Joy to the World, Silent Night, What Child Is This, First Noel, Heart to Herald Angels Sing, and We Wish You a Merry Christmas. Christmas carols you can sing with your family. Also, The First Christmas, which I'd like to read, actually, right now. What they did was they took a combination of the different gospel accounts of a Christmas story and Jesus' birth, written specifically to be read aloud to children. You can read the Nativity with your family this year. And, of course, the main Nativity, the ones you can read, Luke chapter 2, they also point you to that. And also, there is something on there that's pretty cool. If you send out Christmas cards, they have Christmas card inserts with, it says, A Splendid Christmas. It has a gospel, obviously, on there. I'll read that also, if that's okay, if we have time.
Okay, yeah, we have time.
Go ahead.
Just because, it only goes to, about an hour after the show goes, so we still got, almost 40 minutes.
Okay, we'll do. Well, that's no problem. We can do as long as you need. I mean, we can even stop it at 30 minutes after the hour if you'd like. It's not a big deal.
I want you to read. Yeah, I think it's a good idea.
Okay. Once again, this is from splendidchristmas.com. I had a lot of great stuff there. I actually posted on Facebook. By the way, you can catch us on Facebook. My Facebook, you can just put in GC Reynolds, GCREYNOLDS. There's a link, I think, to ours. Is there a link on our truthbetoldradio.com site?
Okay.
Melissa, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Is there a link to our Facebook pages on the truthbetoldradio.com site?
It just says to go to it and put Truth Be Told Radio. It's not exactly not a direct link. All they just do is search for Truth Be Told Radio and they'll find us on Facebook.
Okay, awesome. Well, I'm going to read here. Something you can read to your kids, obviously. It has all the three recorded times of birth of Jesus in John 1, Matthew 1 and 2, and Luke 1 and 2. Kind of combined, you can read to kids. This is on splendidchristmas.com. You can also Google Splendid Christmas and get all sorts of kinds of awesome craft ideas and make cookies and things like that. Also, you can send a link to your friends, even unsaved friends. They can come on there and get all kinds of awesome stuff for Christmas to do with the family, and which needs to be done these days. Speaking of that, let's go to that right now. The Birth of Jesus Christ from splendidchristmas.com. It's adapted from John 1, Matthew 1 and 2, and Luke 1 and 2. Once again, this is to be read aloud to kids. Jesus, the eternal God. At the beginning of time, Jesus already existed. He was with God, and he was God. Jesus existed in the beginning with God. In fact, Jesus created everything. Not a single thing came into existence that he did not create. God chooses a virgin named Mary. God chose a virgin girl named Mary to carry Jesus in her womb. She was engaged to be married to a man called Joseph. But before they were married, an angel appeared to her. He said, "Greetings, you are highly favored by God. And God is with you. God is going to bless you among all other women." Mary was scared. She was just an ordinary girl. She had no idea what the angel was talking about. The angel saw how frightened she was. "Don't be afraid, Mary. I'm going to explain," he says. "God is going to give you an incredible privilege. You are going to become pregnant and have a son. And you will name him Jesus. he will be very great because he is the Son of God. Mary asked, how could this happen? I'm a virgin. The word virgin means that she had never been with a man the way you would allow a baby to be born. The angel told her, God is going to create the baby in your womb by the power of the Holy Spirit. The baby will be holy. He is the Son of God. Mary responded, I want to be God's servant. May everything happen just as you explained. All this occurred to fulfill one of God's prophecies about the Messiah, which says, look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Isaiah 7:14. Emmanuel is a word which means God himself has come down to dwell with us. And you can also go through, and I'm going to continue here.
Yes.
This nativity, Christmas nativity.
Oh, you want to read that?
Go through. Well, I'm going through some of the pages of how it's going to go through here. Jesus is born. Back in that time, Mary and Joseph lived under the rule of the Roman Empire. The Roman Emperor Augustus decided he wanted to take count of all the citizens under his control. This kind of counting is called a census. Now the instructions for the census said that, in order to be counted, every man had to go to town his ancestors were from. Since Joseph's ancestors was King David, he had to go to a town called Bethlehem. He took his fiancée Mary with him, and by this time she was obviously pregnant. While they were in Bethlehem, the time came for the baby to be born. Mary gave birth to a son, and they named him Jesus, just as the angel had instructed. Mary wrapped the baby up in snugly and swaddling clothes and laid him in an animal feeding trough. Because the city was so crowded, there was no room for them in the inn. The same night that the Lord Jesus was born, there were some shepherds who were outdoors, watching over the flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel appeared to them. God's glory in the form of bright, shining light shone all around them. They were terrified. But the angel said, do not be afraid. I have good news of a great joy that is for all people. Today in Bethlehem, the Savior was born. He is the Messiah, the Lord God. This is how you'll know you will find the right baby. You will find him wrapped snugly in swaddling clothes and lying in an animal feeding trough. Suddenly, the angel wasn't alone. God's vast army of angels appeared around them. They were praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and peace to people on whom God's favor rests. When the angels had left, the shepherds turned to each other and said, let's go to Bethlehem and see this baby the Lord God has told us about. They rushed to the town and found everything just as the angel had told them. There was Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby in the feeding trough. They left excitedly and told everyone in town what had happened. They went back to their sheep, praising God for sending a Savior. As Jesus grew up, people did not realize who he was. Even the chosen people of God rejected him. But to all who repent and put their trust in him, he gives the right to be reborn spiritually as God's children. About Thanksgiving, you can go through different holidays and giving God thanks for different things. There's a telling placemat to put on there maybe for next Thanksgiving. And this is the card insert for Christmas cards you put in as you're sending Christmas cards out. It has the gospel on it. I'm going to read it right. Once again, this is from SplendidChristmas.com. Sitting down with your loved ones, enjoying the warmth of a crackling fire, hanging stockings, decorating the tree. These are things that make for a splendid Christmas. Nothing beats snuggling to the comfy chair with a cup of hot chocolate, looking at the twinkling light, listening to old familiar carols. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. The Christmas season, different things to different people. But one thing is sure, it is a time of year set aside by Christians to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. You've heard the story. A virgin was visited by God's angel, and she's told she would become miraculously pregnant with God's one and only son. An angel told her fiancé, you should name the baby Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. But what does this really mean? Sure, none of us are perfect, but we do really need someone to save us from our sins, do we? To clearly understand what Christmas is about, we must try to look at ourselves the way God sees us. And the way we do that is to see if we obey His holy law, the Ten Commandments. Have you ever told a lie? Have you ever stolen anything? Think hard and be honest. Regardless of the item of value, have you ever taken something that didn't belong to you? Have you ever used God's name in vain, such as exclaiming, OMG, or have you ever felt hatred in your heart against someone? Have you ever looked at someone and had sexual thoughts about them? Here's the ugly truth. If you've told lies, that makes you a liar in the eyes of God. If you've ever stolen anything, God sees you as a thief. If you ever use God's name, you're a blasphemer. According to God's word, anyone who hates is considered a murderer. And Jesus said that anyone who looks at another person with lust has already committed adultery with that person in their heart. Anyone who is lusted is considered by God as an adulterer. We've only looked at 5 out of 10 commandments. But if God judges by that standard, will you be innocent or guilty of breaking the laws? Many people say guilty, but God forgives. They may think that God is so good that He will overlook their sins. Well, God is good. That much is true. But in the same way that a good human judge cannot let a guilty criminal go, God must see that justice is done. You and I will be guilty when we stand before God, guilty with nothing to say for ourselves except that we're sorry. But the just judge of the universe will let us off for being sorry. We've broken the law. We should be sorry. But that doesn't change the fact that He has the past sentence. The Bible tells us the sentence for breaking God's law is hell. 1 Corinthians 6:9 and 10, God gives us a list of those who will not be able to enter heaven. Among others, He includes fornicators, those who have had sex before marriage, idolaters, those who put anything in their lives before God, adulterers, those who lust for someone they're not married to, as well as those who go through with the sexual act, thieves, those who have stolen, and the covetous, those who have greedily desired something that doesn't belong to them. And in Revelation 21:8, God tells us that all liars shall have their place in the lake of fire. You and I stand guilty before God without a thing to say in our own defense. But God did something amazing for us that we wouldn't have to go to hell. You know what that was? He sent His own Son, born of a virgin, perfect and sinless, to die a criminal's death on the cross in payment of our sins. Then He rose again, defeating death forever. That's why Jesus was born, to suffer punishment in your place. That's what the angel meant when he said that Jesus would save His people from their sins. You see, you can never undo the sins we've already committed. We can never live a perfect life as Jesus did. God's word says that if we will repent of our sins, feel sorrow for, and turn away from all the things we know are wrong, and put our faith, entire trust in Jesus as the only one who can save us, then God will wipe out the record of our sins because Jesus' sacrifice on the cross will be counted as the payment. That's why Christians had such a meaningful time at Christmas. At Christmas, a Christian is setting aside a day to celebrate the birth of the Savior. Christmas can be truly splendid because God loved us so much that He sent His Son to take the punishment for our sins. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Don't wait. Repent. Put your faith in Christ today. Even though I was just reading from something from splendidchristians.com, it was a Christmas card insert, I do ask you the same things. If you've been intently hearing this, if you just stumbled upon this radio show or this podcast, you just kind of went on and you've seen something about Christmas or the Antichrist or anything like that, I believe that God had you come on here to listen to what I just said, what the Bible says. Are you that? Have you you've sinned against a holy and just God. Repent and put your trust in Christ today. It doesn't matter how many times you've went to church. It doesn't matter how much you've listened in church or how much you believe. Believe is not enough. You must repent. Put your trust in Jesus Christ, please. There's no other time but today. I don't know about you, but I don't know when I'm going to die, and I'm sure you don't know when you're going to die. Death is certain. Life is not. You need to figure that out in this life. If it's true, then you're in trouble on Judgment Day. If it's not, you're okay, but you need to find out if it's true or not. Because if you're not believing the truth, you're willingly believing a lie. And I don't know anyone in their right mind believing a lie continues on and doing it once they know the truth. That was from splendidchristians.com, what I just read. You can get on there. Also, livingwaters.com has a bunch of stuff. evangelismstuff.com for those of you who like to get things, shirts and little thing, open air helps, shirts and coffee mugs and all kinds of stuff in there. Help out Anna and her husband out there in California. They've been blessed beyond relief. But if you've never seen, you can go to Anna's bio, and she discusses her life at this point, which is amazing. She has an amazing story. They're very, I believe her husband's name is, I can't remember, starts with a D. I believe it's Daryl. I'll have to check that out and look it up. Get on there. Get on evangelismstuff.com. Check out Steph. I'm going to go on there right now. And
there's lots of different things they have. It's not just Christmas things. They have other, I've seen, things to give people, like, say, if you want to send them a card or maybe through, I've seen the Christmas cookies. Like, it's even like the recipe for cookies, and I think they say things on there, too, like for evangelism to tell the person that she give it to. I found out with Chan, he's not going to be able to, I was texting back and forth, he's not going to be able to do, we were thinking about doing a show tomorrow, but he can't do that either because he has previous plans that he already committed to. So what we're going to do is going to do, just come back with him next week and talk like we originally talked about the Antichrist, and I think I'm gonna try to put some more stuff together, maybe find some things like on the internet, like I was talking about the theories about Antichrist or anything that I could find, just different things, just like whether it's true or not. I just want to find different things about what people say about the Antichrist, what they think, and I'm gonna try to do that, and then he's gonna come on like he had originally planned. It was the second hour, and then he will talk about that like he had originally planned this week. For some reason, scheduling error. I don't know if it was me or what, but on Blog Talk Radio, it was scheduled to 1 p.m. Pacific time instead of 2 p.m. Pacific time that I usually have the show at. So, it's what God meant for it to be. So, we'll do it next week, and we'll have that. So get ready for that. And with your questions or if anything you want to have a sort of rebuttal or whatever you want to do for that, remember the phone number for next week. It's 347 area code 884-9505. 347-884-9505. And I think we will try to go, like we did this time, go over the show about an hour, the normal time. But when you go over, it's streaming, but there's no audio playing on the actual Blog Talk Radio website. So if you call in before the show ends, you'll be able to stay on the line and listen, and I think we'll be able to take your questions if that happens. But you have to call before the show ends. The show ends at about 4 p.m. Pacific time. That's 7 p.m. Eastern. And so, like I said, call in next time, 347-884-9505, 347-884-9505, and that's here on Truth Be Told Radio via blogtalkradio.com. And I don't know if you want me to do this, I have this audio of, it's John MacArthur, and it's talking about, says, why does evil dominate the world? It's like, it's just part of the lessons, but they could hear the whole lesson on gty.org. Do you want to play that, or you want to talk more?
I don't know. Can you play anything? I haven't been able to play anything.
Yeah, I'm going to see if it works. Well, Here, I'm going to try to play. If it doesn't work, then we know it didn't work. This is called Why Does Evil Dominate the World? Let's see if this works. And this is John MacArthur speaking.
It's impossible to deny. We live in a world dominated by evil. Natural disasters, disease, crime, war, it assaults us on all fronts. And in the midst of so much pain and suffering, you have to ask, where is God? Why would a loving God, a sovereign God, who controls everything, allow evil to exist? Well, people have wrestled with that question for centuries. Atheists, meanwhile, use it to support their case. If God, the Creator, is good, they say, how could His creation be so fraught with evil? Now, those kind of questions often back believers into a corner, but they shouldn't, and you're about to learn why. Today, Pastor John MacArthur launches an important two-part series on why God allows evil to dominate His creation. And make no mistake, He does allow it. And the reasons why might just change the way you see the world.
What in the world makes us so embarrassed about the gospel?
I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Why did God allow evil in the world? You could frame the question a number of ways. If the Creator God is so good, why is there so much evil in the world? In fact, the reality of evil in the world is one of the favorite justifications of those who reject the God of the Bible. They're eager to ask those questions in a myriad of different ways. How can God be holy and allow His creation to be dominated by unholiness? How can God be perfectly righteous and ordain the presence of unrighteousness? There are a number of ways that this particular idea is effectively communicated. One is a syllogism, a series of logical steps, such as the biblical God is loving, the biblical God is all-knowing, the biblical God is all-powerful, yet massive evil exists in the world, therefore the biblical God does not exist. That is to say that whoever allows this evil cannot be loving or cannot be holy or cannot be all-powerful or all-knowing and still allow evil. In the minds of many, this backs Christians up into an impossible corner. There are many who see this as putting us, I guess you could say, at 4th and 40 on our own 10-yard line. And our only option is to punt. And there are many Christians who would agree with that, and they would grab Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to the Lord, and punt that into the opposition's territory as far as they can. Is that the best we can do when pressed against our own theological end zone? Is to punt Deuteronomy 29:29? Isn't there anything better than that in the divine playbook? Isn't there some kind of long pass we can complete? Something that not only will allow us to escape from defeat, but guarantee victory? I believe there is. I believe that Scripture gives us an answer, and without hesitation, we can know that answer, we can understand that answer, and we can find eminent satisfaction in that answer. And this opens up to our thinking a whole category of theological truth that goes under the name of theodicy. theodicy, T-H-E-O-D-I-C-Y, theodicy. It comes from two Greek words, theos, meaning God, and dike, which is the root of the words that mean righteousness or righteous or just or justice. A theodicy is an explanation of how God can be just or how God can be righteous. It is a defense of God's righteousness in the face of the presence of pervasive sin. And so I want to give you what I believe is a biblical theodicy, a biblical defense of why God, who is holy, who is loving, who is all-knowing, who is all-powerful, has allowed evil to dominate His creation. So I'm going to put together my own little series of logical points. Number one, evil exists. Evil exists. This is without serious argument. It is incontrovertible, unless you are a Christian science advocate. It was Mary Baker Eddy, Patterson, Glover, Fry, she had a problem with men, who basically developed what is called Christian science. The teaching of Christian science is this: all evil is an illusion, all sickness is an illusion, and even death is an illusion. Christian science is actually like grape nuts. You've ever had grape nuts? I don't know why they named them that. They're not grapes and they're not nuts. And Christian science is neither Christian nor scientific. But it sounds impressive. The answer is not to play some ridiculous metaphysical game to say something doesn't exist that clearly does exist. Evil exists. It exists apparently, manifestly, massively, dominantly in our world. And there are a number of categories in which evil exists. Let me give you a few. There is natural evil. That is impersonal, external, physical, temporal evil in the form of diseases, disasters, catastrophes, the kinds of things that come from the physical world, the cursed creation. From tiny bacteria to tidal waves, from viruses to volcanoes, the whole natural world is blighted by bad things. Things that make you sick, things that injure you, things that kill you. And humans, since the fall, have lived at the mercy of the physical corruption. Secondly, there's moral evil. Moral evil is personal, as opposed to natural evil, which is impersonal. It is internal. It is spiritual. It is wickedness, sin, transgression, iniquity, whatever term you want to use for it. It is a bent. It is a disposition. It is an attitude. It is a course of thinking, speaking, and conduct which dominates the human race, so that, Scripture says, no one is good, not even one. Scripture says all the thoughts of the human heart are only evil continually. Scripture says that it is out of the heart that lust conceives and produces sin, and from that sin comes death. The Bible tells us that society is dominated by corruption. And it is not a disaster that kills us. A disaster may kill us, but if we miss all the disasters and all the diseases, we will still die because the wages of sin is death. The corruption comes to every human being. It impacts every life, every relationship. All of humanity is made up of sinners. No one is exempt. And all the immoral sinners collide with each other in malfunctioning families and friendships and rivalries and associations and nations. The collision of wicked, selfish, immoral hearts fills the world with one disaster after another.